We got a guy on the line who, if he decided to steal a jacket last night, he might be a millionaire. He's already a millionaire. Jack's a millionaire to begin with. But we're hearing some stories that that jacket Drake was wearing last night could be worth $1 million. I find that hard to believe. But here's our Raptors analyst and our good friend Jack Armstrong. How much do you think that jacket was worth, Jack, that you were wearing last night?
Well, I said it's probably worth more than my house. Definitely worth more than my car. So I don't know. I you know, well, we'll have to get someone digging on the research to find out exactly what it's worth. But I'll tell you what, it was as warm and cozy and comfortable a mink coat. It's the only mink coat I've ever worn. Probably the only mink coat I'll ever wear.
Jack,
and it had like a bear in it. It was amazing.
You had a coffee in your hand. Would you have crapped your pants if you spilt your coffee all over that jacket?
Actually, I don't drink coffee. The only time I have coffee if it has Jameson in it. So, no, I drink tea. During games, I drink green tea. So I would have been pretty nervous if I spilled tea on that. But it just kind of happened. He took his jacket off and just handed it to us, and lo and behold, I ended up wearing it for a half of the game, and we had a lot of fun with it, and Drake's a lot of fun. Look, you know, he's a talented performer, musician, but beyond that, he gets it. He goes along with the journey. He's a lot of fun. He's got a good sense of humor, and every time he's at the game, he jumps on with it with us, and he's very gregarious and good-hearted, so... It's always a lot of laughs.
Yeah, he definitely gets it. He's an entertainer in the end, and that was really fun, cool TV last night. It was not a lucky charm, though, for the Raptors, or a healthy body for the Raptors, because they had 10 healthy bodies last night, and they had guys playing big minutes that will not play big minutes probably again the rest of their careers, possibly, with Van Vliet out, Siakam out, Barnes out. There's three starters, Achiuwa and Porter, two rotation guys. I mean, what do you make of it, Jack? I mean, they're back to 500, and it feels like when it rains, it pours. There's a lot of injuries and a lot of illness right now.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, it seems to be an ongoing trend, not only in Toronto, but around the league and in other sports as well. For whatever reason, and everyone's got their own theories of what's causing it, I personally think that a lot of athletes today specialize at a very young age, and I think you get to a point where you have overuse injuries, and you don't use other muscle groups, and I just think in the off season these guys not only train with folks with their own team, but yet a lot of them have their own personal guys, and I think the body at times needs to relax and rest a little bit. Hey, look at the longevity of a guy. My broadcast partner, Matt Devlin, and I were chatting about it, laughing about it last night. Look at a guy like Phil Kessel. I mean, seriously, right? He's just rolling along. And, you know, you look at him, and I don't think if you look up in the dictionary the definition of what an athlete looks like, I don't think Phil Kessel is the first guy on the list. But nonetheless, it's still, you know, availability is really important, and the ability to play all the time is critical. And so the Raptors are dealing with it right now, but there's not only them, but there's a lot of teams in the NBA, and you see it around other sports.
Jack, another guy to look at is LeBron. It seems like 10 days after the season, maybe not even, he's playing in some league in a gym in Los Angeles with a bunch of guys who aren't even professionals. But that's what he does in the off season. So everybody else has got to be saying, if LeBron's doing that, I got to do it too.
No, I agree. And I just think there comes a point where how much is too much.
Yeah.
And I don't have the answer to it. I don't know. I just know that I think leagues are doing everything possible to be concerned with player safety and, you know, time off, trying to cut back on back-to-backs, travel studies, sleep studies, nutrition, you name it. I think they're all trying very hard to address the issue and make it a better situation for athletes, and yet you still have this problem. So I don't know where the answer is, but clearly it's a problem.
with Jack Armstrong, we made a lot of, or we talked a lot about the Nick Nurse, Gary Trent comments from a couple of days ago, where he's urging Trent to offer up more defensively. He didn't shoot well last night, specifically from three. It was awful. He was 1 for 8 from three. But what did you make of the effort of Gary Trent? And you get the impression, like Nurse, did he feel like Trent responded to him being called out?
Well, I thought he played really hard last night. You know, he had some deflections. He had some steals. He was moving his feet. He was flying around. So he looked like the guy that I saw a year ago. That was a good, sound, two-way player for them. And, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes guys get a little sidetracked. You know, he can opt out of his contract at the end of the year. And, you know, sometimes you get a lot of people chatting to you and saying, well, you got to put up big numbers. So you focus so much on your offensive repertoire that you kind of lose sight of the fact that people that make these decisions to pay you are making decisions on the totality of your game. And, you know, you got to be able to do it in every aspect. So, to me, even though he struggled last night offensively, and you know, if you look at the Raptors last night, they really struggled with playmaking. You take Fred VanVleet, Scottie Barnes, and Pascal Siakam off the court. For a guy like Gary Trent, as good as he is at being able to put it on the floor for a bounce or two and get his own shot, he really benefits having guys that can make plays for others and make it easier for him. So I firmly believe that when he gets those guys back around him, his numbers offensively, the efficiency will get better. But I do like what I saw from him last night in terms of his energy.
With Jack Armstrong, our Raptors analyst, the Nets are a team that causes a lot of stir and a lot of drama, and they were in town last night, and it was really the Kyrie Irving show. I mean, Kyrie has been in and out of the lineup. I think they have about 62, 63 games left in their schedule this season. There's no way he's playing in all of them, and at some point something else will come up. But you got to give credit where it's due. I mean, when he plays, he can play, can't he, Jack? I mean, he looked. They still got talent on that team in Brooklyn.
Well, he's one of the most creative players we've seen in the NBA in the last decade in terms of having an incredibly tight handle. The ball is on a string. He can go anywhere he wants with it. He can get his shot off any way possible. He can just take you out of it and get his shot off at will. And he shoots the ball exceptionally well. And he's masterfully gifted at being able to get to the rim and score at the rim against big people, against multiple defenders. And, you know, now you put a guy like Ben Simmons, who's starting to settle down a little bit and play better. You know, you put a guy like that on the floor who's such a good playmaker. Kyrie can play off the ball. I thought Kyrie had 2-3 plays off the ball last night. As a cutter, as a guy using screens, very crafty, intelligent movement away from the ball, and Ben Simmons found him each time. So, to me, I think that's something to keep an eye on as well. As much as Kyrie is a gifted scorer, and when the ball's in his hand, he can be a gifted playmaker, when you have a guy like Simmons to play with, you know, Joe Harris has definitely not got back yet to the player he once was, and they need his shooting. Seth Curry didn't play last night. I think when you add all those skilled weapons around you, the quality of shots you get is just going to get better and better. So, look, if they're healthy, and you're right, there'll probably be other things that pop up. But if they're healthy, they're definitely a team that's going to be a tough out.
So be honest with us here, Jack. I'm assuming you're heading to some sort of, hopefully, a Thanksgiving dinner, and the Bills were playing earlier. We were laughing at really taking umbrage in the misery of Lions fans who have lost 6 in a row on Thanksgiving. I think they're like 5-22 or something in the last 27 on Thanksgiving Day. How many Lions fans go home and ruin Thanksgiving dinner because they just went to the game, the team sucks, and they're furious that their family's at their house? Would it have been the similar situation for you if the Bills didn't squeak that out? Because I thought they were going to lose. I thought they were going to lose this afternoon.
Well, I'm driving with my lovely bride, and she's a lifelong Bills fan. Honey, how upset would you have been?
I don't talk for days.
That's the answer. Well, now you can talk. It's all good because the Bills won,
so,
right? It's all good, right?
But happy wife, happy life. My wife is happy. I'm happy. I'm wearing my Bills hat. It's all good. We watched the game and had Thanksgiving dinner, so everybody's in a joyous, happy mood right now.
That's great. Well, we'll let you get back to it, and obviously you guys are talking, which is a good thing because the Bills won earlier today. So enjoy the ride.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, Jack.
You got it. Have a great night, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yep, you too. There he is, Jack Armstrong. his wife, a lifelong Bills fan, wouldn't talk for days if they lost. I love
there that. Are people like that. Like, literally, would be so pissed.
Fuming. Well, especially against the Lions.
Dude,
and
it doesn't
it's a
matter.
Holiday.
Who cares if the Lions skunked them? I don't understand the fandom where it's like, you wouldn't talk to someone for days at work.
Mm-hmm.
You got a life. You got a job. You got kids. Like, what? Dude, are you talking about?
No, I get
about
it, man. I get it. You only
like,
play
people
so many
always
games.
I see some texts and tweets in the morning, and Leafs lose or they're terrible. I fall asleep so fast and so lovely in the evening, regardless of any score. No score of any game, unless I was part of an organization where I had skin in the game, would ever keep me up at night. Ever.
I mean, think about two guys right now. I can name two guys that are at the edge of their seat and very nervous. And that is Chris Johnston and Pierre LeBrun right now watching the Cowboys-Giants. And, you know, the Cowboys are hanging in there, but the Giants are up 10-7.
Giants are up 10-7.
The Cowboys, as good as they've been this year, they will find a way to do something stupid this season. It'll go stupid somehow for them. They'll have a Tony Romo butt fumble or whatever the hell he did in that one. Like, they'll have a moment where it's like, how did that happen?
Oh, I agree with you.
They do it every year.
They absolutely do. Yep, they will. They're not, I don't, you know, I this game's still early. It's in the first half, and they're back in the, I don't know if they're in the red zone, but they're close.
They're close
this probably
to it,
ends in a tie going into the half, and I think they probably pull it out in the second half. But you're right. I think the Eagles are better. I think the Niners are better. I think Tampa's still got time to collect themselves and figure it out. And, yeah, the Cowboys will find a way to screw it up. But the Bills, you know, they got a similar history. They went to four straight Super Bowls. They didn't win any of them. And, you know, how much heartbreak has there been in Buffalo? And now you get Miami's back, and the Jets are making a quarterback change. We'll see what they're made of. The Patriots can, if the Pats win tonight, they're 7-4. The Pats are right on their tail.
Wow.
The Bills are in a fight, man. Bills are in a fight. Like, early in the season, it felt like they were going to run away with the AFC East.
Yeah.
It is by no means a lock that they even win the division. So today was a big game. They had to pull that off.
The Patriots started very slow, correct? Yep. I mean, we were talking about how Belichick, it's all Brady. Belichick can't coach. Like, you know, we were tongue-in-cheek. But it was, you know, I remember you saying, Hayes, or I think it may have been Luke saying, like, we clearly know who, you know, was more important to New England. And it was Brady than Belichick. And
yeah, they stunk.
They're chipping
they
away.
Stunk.
They did. They're 6-4 now. They're 6-4.
Yeah.
Like, they're in a, I don't know if they're still in the playoff spot, but they're right there. If they're not, you know, they're battling with, you know, the Bengals and with the Jets. And so, it's a big one tonight. Minnesota at home against New England.